Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. You know, we break down the big cybersecurity stories so you don't have to. And today, today we've got three stories that really highlight how fast things are moving in this space.
Yeah, it's nonstop, isn't it? I mean, it seems like you patch one thing and then boom, there's another vulnerability to deal with.
It really is a never-ending cycle. So to kick things off, we've got news that might make some Apple users a little uneasy.
Yeah.
There's a zero-day vulnerability.
Yeah.
And get this, it's actively being exploited.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, uh-oh. That's right. This vulnerability affects a wide range of Apple devices, and it has the potential to give attackers complete control.
You're talking about a privilege escalation vulnerability. That's when an attacker can exploit a witness to gain the highest level of privileges on your device.
Yikes. So, what devices are we talking about here? iPhones, iPads, Macs?
Pretty much the whole ecosystem is potentially at risk. This particular vulnerability resides in the core media framework. It's how Apple devices handle media processing.
So it's pretty fundamental then.
Absolutely. It's like the engine for all things multimedia on your Apple device.
Okay, so that's a lot of devices potentially at risk. What can people do to protect themselves?
Well, the silver lining is that Apple has released updates to patch this vulnerability.
So that's step one. Everyone listening needs to update their Apple devices, iPhones, iPads, Macs, Apple TVs, the whole shebang. Don't wait for those automatic updates either. Go to your settings and manually update.
Get it done right now. Better safe than sorry.
Now, one thing that's a bit odd about this whole situation is that Apple hasn't released many details about the attacks.
Right. No information about who's behind it or how widespread it is. Why so secretive?
It's a balancing act. Apple wants to be transparent, but they also don't want to give attackers any more information. Revealing too much about the vulnerability or the investigation could make it easier for the bad guys to exploit it further.
It's like they're trying to inform people without giving away the playbook.
Precisely.
All right, so for all of you Apple users out there, update your devices now. You know, that whole Apple situation really makes you think about how companies handle these vulnerabilities.
Yeah, it's like a tough call, right? Being transparent, but also trying to protect users.
Exactly. And then there are ethical considerations too, like how quickly should a company disclose a vulnerability even if they don't have a patch ready yet?
Tough questions. No easy answers.
Not at all. But let's move on to something a little different. Bitwarden, the open source password manager, they're introducing a new security feature. It's kind of aimed at people who haven't jumped on the two-factor authentication bandwagon yet.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. It's an email verification step, right?
Right. So basically, if you log in from a new device or clear your browser cookies, Bitwarden sends you an email with a verification code. You need that code to finish logging in.
Okay, so it's a way to encourage people to add that extra layer of security.
Exactly. And I think it's a good move on Bitwarden's part. Two-factor authentication is so important, but a lot of people still don't use it.
It's a little extra effort, but it can make a huge difference in protecting your accounts.
No doubt. Think about all the sensitive information we store online.
Exactly. Email, banking, social media. It's all valuable to hackers.
So yeah, this new Bitwarden feature is a step in the right direction.
But you're still a big advocate for stronger two-factor authentication methods, right? Like authenticator apps or security keys.
Absolutely. Those methods are much more secure because they don't rely on something like email that can be compromised relatively easily.
That makes sense. Now I'm wondering about something. What happens if someone stores their email credentials in Bitwarden? Could this email verification feature actually lock them out of their account?
Oh, that's a great question. And yeah, that is a possibility. If you're storing your email credentials in Bitwarden, make sure you can access your email account independently, just in case you get locked out.
Got it. So like a backup email address.
Oh.
Or a recovery phone number linked to your email account.
Exactly. Or even better, enable proper two-factor authentication on your Bitwarden account. That way you're covered from the start.
Okay, solid advice.
For our last story today, let's talk about DeepSeek. The Chinese AI platform that's been making headlines, they've been hit with a cyber attack, and it really raises some questions about AI security.
This is the one where they got hit with a DDoS attack, right?
Yeah.
And it happened right after their app overtook ChatGPT in downloads.
That's the one. The timing is definitely suspicious.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Do we know who might be behind it?
It's hard to say for sure. It could be hacktivists, competitors trying to disrupt DeepSeek, or even a nation-state actor.
Oh, wow. So there could be a lot of different players.
Cyber espionage is a complicated world.
So let's talk about the technical details. What exactly is a DDoS attack?
A DDoS attack stands for Distributed Denial of Service Attack. It's essentially an attempt to overload a server with traffic. Imagine thousands or even millions of computers all trying to access a website at the same time.
So it's like creating a digital traffic jam.
Exactly. A DDoS attack doesn't usually lead to data theft, but it can be extremely disruptive and costly. It can take websites and online services offline for hours or even days.
Wow. And in DeepSeek's case, the attack seems to have been timed to coincide with a surge in traffic for their app.
Right. When they were gaining a lot of popularity, the attackers wanted to maximize the impact.
Okay, so now things get even more interesting. A cybersecurity firm claims they were able to jailbreak DeepSeek's AI model. What does that mean?
It means they were able to bypass the model's security measures and manipulate it. They got it to produce outputs that it wasn't designed to create.
So they tricked the AI into doing something bad.
Exactly. They were able to get it to generate things like ransomware code,
yeah,
instructions for creating dangerous substances, and other harmful content.
That's scary. It sounds like something straight out of a movie.
It does, but this is the reality we're facing. AI is powerful. And like any powerful tool, it can be misused.
So this whole jailbreaking incident shows just how dangerous AI can be, even if it's developed with good intentions.
Exactly. We need to think about the security of AI systems right from the beginning, not as an afterthought.
Mm. It's not just about preventing malicious actors from exploiting AI either. It's also about making sure AI is developed and used ethically and responsibly.
You're absolutely right. We need to start having these conversations now, while the technology is still relatively new.
So we've covered a lot of ground today, from zero-day exploits to AI jailbreaking. It really feels like we're seeing a snapshot of the future of cybersecurity.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting how these three stories connect. It's like they each represent a different aspect of this ongoing digital arms race.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You've got Apple scrambling to patch a vulnerability,
which can be exploited.
Right. Then you've got Bitwarden trying to nudge users towards better security practices.
And then there's DeepSeek facing the potential consequences of powerful AI falling into the wrong hands.
It makes you realize that cybersecurity is about more than just protecting systems and data. It's also about understanding the human element.
Oh, absolutely. People are often the weakest link, whether it's falling for phishing scams or not using strong passwords.
It really comes down to education and awareness.
Right. We need to be informed users,
not just passive consumers of technology.
We need to understand how these technologies work, the risks they pose, and the steps we can take to protect ourselves.
And it's not just about individual responsibility either.
Companies need to step up too.
Exactly. They need to prioritize the security of their products and services.
And be transparent with users about how they handle data and vulnerabilities.
Transparency builds trust.
It really does. When companies are open about security, it makes users feel more confident.
So much of this comes back to communication. So with all that said, what advice do you have for our listeners who want to stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah.
In this constantly evolving landscape?
Well, the first thing is stay informed. Keep up with the latest cybersecurity news. There are great resources out there, like podcasts and security blogs.
Yeah, we try to do our part.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thanks. But beyond staying informed, what else should people be doing?
Practice good cybersecurity hygiene. Use strong, unique passwords for all your accounts. And turn on two-factor authentication whenever you can.
Two-factor authentication should be a no-brainer these days.
It really should. Also, be wary of phishing emails and suspicious links.
Don't click on anything you're not sure about.
Exactly. And keep your software up to date. Those updates often include important security patches.
All good advice.
And remember, if you're ever unsure about something, don't hesitate to ask for help.
Reach out to your IT department or a trusted cybersecurity professional.
You're better off safe than sorry.
Couldn't agree more. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive today.
Thanks for joining us.
It's been a great discussion.
And we'll be back tomorrow with more insights from the world of cybersecurity.
Until then, stay safe online, everyone.